have emerged triumphant from all our foes. Through the crucible unscathed, we passed victorious. Our trumpets pealing the glorious song. Sing it, all hail Biafra. All hail Biafra. We shall always remember all that perished in the struggle for our freedom. All hail our heroes. Our prayer shall be known both day and night. Say them always. All hail Biafra.
People, great Biafrans, wherever you are on this planet, we are welcoming you to the second segment of our program this afternoon from Los Angeles. We are in California, courtesy of our dear brother. He's a teacher here in California, an employee of the county of Los Angeles, if I'm not mistaken. His name is Ode Morgalo. He's from Unewi. He is here hosting us with his dear wife. And we are welcoming you wherever you are on this planet. Radio Biafra is on tour of the United States and that of Canada as well. We are here to bring the coming of Biafra closer to our people, to bring Biafra closer to Biafrans wherever they may be on this planet. When we return to England from here, sometime around the 19th or the 20th of this very month, we shall be heading to South Africa as well. Upon our return from South Africa, Radio Biafra will be going to Malaysia and also to any other place where we may be required. We are bringing the message of Biafra to our people, bringing it closer to the grassroots, making it possible for our people, wherever they are, to identify with the message of redemption, the message of hope, which we are preaching. We are welcoming you wherever you are on this planet. As usual, we say good afternoon from here, good morning, good day, good evening, wherever you may be on this planet, because Radio Biafra is received in every continent of the world. Wherever you are on this planet Earth, we are welcoming you. All you need to do is to go to www.radiobiafra.co. Please tell your friends and your family. A lot of us have been sleeping on duty. Please do not sleep on duty. It is our duty to propagate Biafra. It is our duty to promote the name Biafra to the ends of the earth. Please go and make sure that you have Biafra recorded. You have Radio Biafra on your Facebook page, on your Skype homepage. Anywhere you have a social platform, anywhere you have more than two people gathered, make sure you mention Radio Biafra to them. Please tell them to go to any of our websites. There they will be able to see what we are doing on behalf of the Biafran people, what we are doing to redeem our people, what we are doing to make sure we set ourselves free. I'm Nnamdi Kanu. I happen to be the host of Radio Biafra and also is director, by the grace of God, a servant of the wonderful people of Biafra. We are here to bring you Biafra in truth and honesty. We are here to disseminate information regarding how we are all going to get Biafra, both individually and collectively as a group. We advise you not only to listen to Radio Biafra, but also to make sure you participate in your country of residence, to participate in your district of where you're residing, anywhere you find more than one or two people, believers in Biafra, in truth and honesty, you get together and you form yourself a 10-man, 10-woman consultative committee. That way you affiliate yourself to Radio Biafra, which makes you automatically members of Bile Human Rights Initiative, because we are in court with Nigeria. We are the people that took Nigeria to court. And we are there with them until we get our freedom. Here you have educated people. Here you have civilized men and women pursuing Biafra in truth and honesty. There is no prevarication. We are not going to delay. We are not going to entertain anything that would derail us. We are not going to retreat. Neither are we going to surrender, because it is either we get Biafra or we die trying to get Biafra. We are welcoming you wherever you are. I'll then go, please, now to our people here in the studio. In our earlier segment, we presented the program with our dear sister, who is the wife of Ode Moghalu. But now we have him and Chidera here with us. First of all, start by going to our dear brother, our host here in Los Angeles, California, United States, to please say hello to you before we proceed, please. Ode, go ahead.
Hello, listeners. Hello, dear friends and well wishers all over the world. Greetings. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and wherever you may be in the globe right now, in your time zones, please listen in, if you can.
Thank you very much, and please, a very sleepy Chidera, please, can you say hello to wonderful listeners?
Hello, wonderful listeners of Biafra. I say good afternoon to you from here, Los Angeles, California, and welcomes you to this educative session of the broadcast.
Thank you very much. People refer to Radio Biafra as a class. If you go onto Facebook, you will see what people say about Radio Biafra, and it's very unique brand of broadcasting, very unique genre. In political discourse. Here, we are here to raise our people from slumber. We are here to ensure that our people face up to their duty, their responsibility, not only their obligation to the dead, but also their responsibility to the living. We owe an obligation to those that passed before us, those who were killed unjustly, those who were murdered and massacred by the evil Nigerian regime under Yakubu Gowon and also Awolowo, the Yoruba man. We are holding them responsible for the deaths of our people. We are also holding our cowardice and complacency responsible, because the question is being asked all the time, where were you people when these killings were going on? We had enough men in the armed forces to counter the counter coup of 1966, yet we did nothing about it. Why are we in this mess? Why are we in this state today? Why is it when our people are being killed, some of us pretend as if nothing has happened? What type of God made these people that don't care? What type of God molded these people who, when other people are being slaughtered in northern Nigeria, they pretend as if nothing is happening? What type of mindset do they have? Are they actually Igbo people? Are they Idoma people? Are they Efik? Are they Ibibio? Are these Ijo people? Why are you looking the other way when other people are being killed? Was it why they found it so easy to raid us during the time of slave trade, to come and take our people, and we did not organize to resist, only a handful of men in a boat? We don't want that type of nonsense to happen. That is why we are in modern day slavery in Nigeria, and we are doing everything we can to resist it now, and we shall continue to resist it until time comes. You know the drill. Once again, this is Radio Biafra. If you wish to join us, you have the number to call. It's on the top right-hand corner of your screen. Please, if you may, please give us the number on the top right-hand corner of the screen. Give us that very number, please.
The number is +1 404 789 8796. Again, +1 404 789 8796.
Yes, we are still experiencing difficulties with our Skype, but I'm sure that thanks to our brother Clifford Iranya, that problem should come to an end on the 10th. It should come to an end on the 10th of this month, because we have acquired some new equipment and we are going to test it in Canada. When we go to Canada, everything is going to be fine over there. We should be able to take multiple calls as usual. But right now, we are having slight difficulties. Please, if you try on Skype and you can't get through, you know it's either the lines are congested or we are having difficulties accessing the system. We have done everything within our powers to make sure we resolve it, but it appears to be persisting. We are going to do all we can to make sure that we resolve this problem as quickly as possible. This is Radio Biafra. You can get us on +1 404 789 8796, or you can Simply add Radio Biafra to your Skype contact list. Radio Biafra, all in lower casing. Please join us on Facebook. If you're not already on Facebook, if you're too cowardly, if you're too afraid to put your name down on Facebook, then you know you shouldn't be listening to Radio Biafra. We are not for cowards. Radio Biafra is not for cowards. We are in court with Nigeria at the Federal High Court in Owerri. Radio Biafra has been to Biafra land to broadcast. We have been to Lagos to broadcast from Lagos on 89.2 FM. Why are you afraid if you're living in America? Why are you afraid if you're living in Europe? Why are you a coward? Radio Biafra is not for cowards. We are here for brave people, because those that gave their lives that we may live, those that redeemed our honor as a people in the battlefield between 67 and 1970, must be turning in their graves to see the children that they gave birth to turn into weasels, turn into cowards, turn into people who, if you come to this earth today, you will think that they're Yoruba people. This is Radio Biafra. Please, wherever you are on the place, we're welcoming you. We'll proceed to bring you our headlines. After that, we'll have a brief analysis and then go into the teaching series. Please, 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 before we commence today, there is something I wish to read, which our brother showed me, and I did promise myself that we're going to read this out on air. That is going to be our guide, our moral compass, our intellectual drive into understanding what we are saying. This particular quote is not directly attributed to me. It belongs to Gwendolyn Mildor Hall, who is a professor, who incidentally is also a white person. It doesn't belong to Radio Biafra. This is not my views. This is not my summary, not my opinion, not my precy on what is happening in Africa and the creation of African states. This is the view of somebody else. And it is our guide this evening, if you can understand it. It says here categorically that, and I'm quoting from a book that she wrote, it's called Slavery and African Ethnicities in the Americas. It is a book by Gwendolyn Mildor Hall. If you want this book, we'll publish it on Facebook. We'll publish it also on the website. You must be a very avid reader if you want to get Biafra, because you have to be intelligent enough to ward off silly questions. You must be intelligent enough to hold on to your beliefs, hold on to your ground, so that our enemies will not infest you with their inferior knowledge. This is what this book has to say. It is unclear to me. This is our dear friend here, Gwendolyn Mildor Hall, writing. Gwendolyn is G-W-E-N-D-O-L-Y-N, Mildor, M-I-D-L-O, Hall, as in hallway. Gwendolyn Mildor Hall is a professor and is a lady, for that matter. Is that correct?
Yeah.
She is a lady. From her name, she sounds Welsh. Most Welsh people took us away from where we came from. But let us go and tell you what her perspectives are, what her views are, on the preface to this very book, where she commented. She says here, and I love this very much, if we have the capacity to absorb what she's saying, it is unclear to me why some scholars of African diaspora, in other words, those of our people who are living in America and in Europe, you and I, basically, why we have become so enamored with theories of boundaries and identity formation, that they apply them to all black Africans and use these theories to deny the existence of self-conscious groups among any Africans on either side of the Atlantic. What they are saying, in effect, what this white person is asking us is, why have people, even those who are scholars, people like Professor Ben Wabeze, accepted the boundaries carved up by other people, where your own original identity have been subsumed into some type of monstrosity, in our own case called Nigeria? She continued to say that modern nations as we know them did not exist in sub-Saharan Africa throughout the Atlantic slave trade era. What she is telling us, that Nigeria never existed. Nigeria is not a country. All the countries you're seeing in Africa are mere artificial creations. She went on to say that it is not. It is only for Africans that complex, varied, unclear, and changing ethnonyms and typonyms. In other words, when you group people together and you call them Nigeria, you call them Ghana, you call them Niger, you call them whatever nonsense that comes to somebody's head, are invoked to avoid studying them as a concrete human group. The reason why the world cannot devote a lot of material time, a lot of research time, a lot of education to the study of Biafran people and who they are is because of the existence of Nigeria. These are not my words, but the words of a white woman who is a professor who wrote a book from which I am reading from today. Neither Europeans nor Native Americans are lumped together as abstractions and made invisible. These are the words of white people. Neither Europeans. What is happening in Africa today? When somebody rises up to defend Nigeria, you tell that person that their brains are not complete. The person is a born fool. You cannot defend the indefensible. Anybody defending Nigeria is demented. Anybody defending Nigeria is not worthy to be called a human being, because it is clearly written here. The same Europeans that created you as a Nigerian, the same Europeans that created you as a Ghanaian or God knows what else, where we are today is Los Angeles in the Americas. Not even Native Americans are lumped together as abstractions. If you don't understand the English language very well, I recommend very strongly that you consult your dictionary and look at what abstraction means. It means you don't exist. You are a footnote. You are absolutely irrelevant. That's what they're saying. Neither Europeans nor Native Americans are lumped together as abstractions and made invisible. Nigeria makes you invisible. This I have just quoted directly from a book written by Gwendolyn Milder Hall for us to reason. When I see somebody from Africa say that a professor, they are learned, I sometimes wonder if it is the same school I went to that some of these people went to, because they don't quite understand or grasp the finer points of English language, or there is something fundamentally missing from their brain cells. It is not the same country. This is Radio Biafra. We will now proceed to bring you the headlines and the accompanying news, after which we'll go for our summary and then begin to take your calls. That this is Radio Biafra, wherever you are on this planet, we are welcoming you. This is the second installment of our evening program dedicated to those of them who work from week to week, who work from Saturday to Saturday, who never actually go home. We are asking them to call in today to give us their perspective and their views on Biafra, because we are not relenting. If they come out, if they don't, we are going to get Biafra regardless. But we are here to remind them of their duty to the living and their obligation to the dead, that we must honor our heritage, honor where we come from, and set ourselves free from the bondage called Nigeria. Chidera, please, if you may, kindly bring us the headlines and the accompanying summary, please. We'll be very grateful. Go ahead, please.
We are reporting again that Abia government has given Imo government an ultimatum. Also, governors from Southeast and South-South pledge support for Jonathan, and Professor Nwaboeze demands a national conference. The news in detail. The crisis brewing between Abia and Imo state governments over the ejection of Abia Transport Company from its park in Owerri deepened this weekend, with the former giving the later till tomorrow to secure a new loading bay for its transport company. Abia state government threatened to also eject Imo Transport Company from the state if its Imo counterpart failed to accede to its appeal by today. It said the threat became necessary because of alleged refusal of Imo government to heed to its previous appeals to give Abia Line a place to operate in Owerri. Chief Press Secretary to Governor Theodore Oji, Mr. Ugochukwu Emezue, said in a statement that the state government did not believe the reason given by its Imo counterparts for the ejection, saying other transport companies were still operating from the same park. According to Emezue, since Abia Line's loading bay in Owerri was shut down, Abians were finding it very difficult to come back home. He said all efforts by Abia Line to get another loading bay in the Imo state capital had allegedly been frustrated by the state government officials. Interestingly, Peace Mass Transit, which also operates within the same neighborhood with Abia Lines, is yet to be ejected, as Imo government is claiming that the ejection order was based on its plan to reclaim the master plan of the capital city of Owerri. According to Emezue, if by Tuesday Abia Line is not returned to its loading bay, Abia state government will also begin the restoration of the master plan of Aba and Omahe, which will affect Imo Transport Company loading bays in the affected areas. Emezue called on human rights activists, social crusaders, and all well-meaning Nigerians to condemn the hostile action of Imo state government, adding that now was the right time for the activists to act and not wait to criticize Abia government's retaliatory measures. Governors of the Southeast and South-South states yesterday met in Enugu with a pledge to continue to support President Goodluck Jonathan, saying he has done well through his transformation agenda. However, three governors, including Rivers State Governor Rotimi Amaechi, Adams Oshiomhole of Edo State, and Rocha Sokorocha of Imo State were conspicuously absent. The governors kept mum on their absentee colleagues. It is not clear if their absence was a boycott of the meeting or lack of adequate communication. Governor Peter Obi, chairman of the Southeast Governors Forum, who briefed newsmen, declined to take questions, hence no explanation was given regarding the absence of their three colleagues. Present at the meeting were governors of Abia, Anambra, Ebonyi, Enugu, Akwa Ibom, Bayelsa, Delta, and Cross River. Obi, who read the resolution of the meeting, which lasted about 4 hours, said the governors commended President Jonathan for the various programs he had embarked upon, as shown in the midterm report. He said the report clearly shows that the transformation agenda is on course, and we pledge to continue to support him. Obi said the two zones had agreed to work together economically in the area of infrastructure development. According to him, Akwa Ibom and Abia states have reached an understanding with the private sector to reconstruct and dualize the Bad Ikotepene Aba road to improve economic activities within the corridor of both states. He said the governors also discussed the disturbing issue of oil theft and how to curb the menace, but gave no detail of how they intended to actualize the plan. Besides, the Anambra governor said the issue of ethnic harmony between the two zones and how to promote it was duly discussed. Elder statesman and chairman of the Patriots, Professor Ben Nwabueze, SAN, has described as gratuitous comments attributed to leader of the South South Assembly, Chief Edwin Clark, over his advice to President Goodluck Jonathan. He referred to Clark as a person camouflaging political ideas and ambition with intellectualism and as an unpatriotic saboteur of the democratic process. The legal icon said there was nothing unpatriotic or undemocratic in his advice to President Jonathan not to contest the 2015 elections and to focus attention on the nobler task of leading Nigeria out of danger. He said, "I only advised that the president, in exercising his God-given will and democratic constitutional right, should not seek re-election in 2015 to enable him pursue the nobler project of leading Nigeria as one united people out of the present quagmire in which it finds itself. There is nothing unconstitutional about the advice, as it leaves the president entirely free to decide for himself. My advice was given in all sincerity as what I would do if I were in the president's position. But of course, as I said in the statement in which I gave the advice, he shall never be me and nor will I ever be him. He and I are created different human beings with different visions, different outlooks on life and different passions. I do not wish to exchange vituperative words with a former student of mine whom I am proud to have taught law in London in the 1961 to 1962 academic years, except only to say by way of correction that I served as minister under the regime of General Ibrahim Babangida, not General Sani Abacha. I hope Chief Edwin Clark will, as a mark of respect properly due to me from him and his former teacher, change his mind and attend the Uyo National Summit, now postponed to August 26, 27, and 28, 2013, especially as Mr. President himself has indicated his intention to be at the summit personally. I urge that we all get together at the summit and put our heads together in a joint effort to try and find solutions to the problems and challenges facing our country."
Yes, thank you very much for that. Thank you very, very much. I don't know what challenges they're talking about. I don't know what country he is trying to salvage. And for those who are joining us for the very first time, that those were our news headlines presented to you by our dear sister, Chidera Akabo. And please, 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 if you wish to join us, the number to call is on the top right-hand corner of your screen. It's on the top right-hand corner of your screen. You can also follow us via Skype. You can send us a Skype text, Skype message. We will receive it and lo and behold, be able to publicize and make that very public once we receive it. We are asking you to please go onto Facebook and join us on Facebook. All you need to do is to go and search for Radio Biafra London, all separate words. Radio Biafra London, add click to join the group, and once you've done that, you can begin to add your friends to the group. Once you have done that, please, you can also get your friends to do the same. We are welcoming you to our program. Dear sister is here, who is the wife of Odi Mogalu. Mrs. Mogalu is welcome to the studios of Radio Biafra here. They are the principal host here, hosting Radio Biafra in Los Angeles here in California. You are all welcome wherever you are on this planet. Please continue to inform your friends. Continue on Waibaya. If you hear about Radio Biafra, please tell your friends. If you hear about us, please also tell our enemies, especially Yoruba people. We will go to her to please say hello to all of you. And then we shall go to the husband to please give us his summary, his take on what we are presenting this evening. Please go ahead.
Hello, fellow Biafrans. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. And we are asking the caller, we are asking the caller on Skype to stay where he or she is. Stay where you are. We have taken your call. The caller on Skype, stay where you are. We shall be coming to you in a short while. But before we do, let us go to our brother to please give us his assessment, his summary, his take on what we are presenting this evening. Please go ahead.
Hello, listeners. I said before the previous section of broadcast that in this broadcast I may want to delve into us as a people, as a first of all, the Igbo people in particular, and the rest of Biafrans who are listening, regarding our own spirituality as a people. Because in Igbo land, they say that if you don't know where the rain start beating you, you wouldn't know where it stopped. And we have to then know where the rain start beating us. And as I quoted before from a very outstanding Biafran, Pius Okibo. Pius Okibo was a renowned economist, and he was an economic advisor to, I think, a couple of Nigerian presidents. And but Pius Okibo was most importantly a Biafran, and he was a very dedicated Biafran. He had to fly for different negotiations, international negotiations, outside Biafra in the heat of the battle during the war. And he paid a lot of price, just like so many Biafrans did. And so I speak this in his honor. His younger brother, Christopher Okibo, the renowned African poet, died early in the war in 1967, warding off the invading Nigerian army. Pius Okibo said here, he said, "We are better able to understand the values in a people's culture, not through their dances or even through their painting, however much these may reflect the social system of aesthetics, but through their primitive or adoptive religions. Each religion defines how man should relate to other men and his maker or to the universe." That means that for us to understand people, we have to go and check their religion. That's how you understand their worldview, how they relate to people, and how they relate to their gods. You know, it's very difficult then for us to extricate religion from culture. Culture seems to be the way of life of any people. But religion is right at the center of it. For not even laws, civil laws, can supersede the influence of religion in a human life. And that is why it's important that we study what we believe in and see how much that has affected us in this life. I was discussing with Nnamdi a couple of times yesterday, and he mentioned something like a corrupt priesthood in the practice of our own religion as a people. A corrupt priesthood being a problem in Igbo land. And we are Christians. We are Christians, and we also have a traditional culture and religion, you know, prior to Christianity. But if we look at Christianity, we see that there are great similarities between our own culture and the Hebraic culture because of our Hebrew origin, definitely, because this is a pointer to that strong link. And is an undeniable point. Why? Because there are facts and figures to support it. There are actually striking similarities. And please underline the word striking similarities between our culture as Igbo people and as also written in the Bible. Because while the Bible is a reflection of a people, it's also a reflection of their culture. It's also a reflection of their ways of life. And because when the Bible came to us, the first mission built in Igbo land was in 1857, first in Abo on the southern part of the Niger, and also then in Onitsha. And these missions were set up by the Christian Missionary Society, CMS. And they were headquartered in London. And from London, they had a base in Sierra Leone, which was much closer in West Africa. We all know about the Mafa, the Holocaust, the African Holocaust, the transatlantic slavery. And it affected the Igbo so terribly that from the records, they are saying that between 1650s and 1850, there are more than 1 million people who were Igbo that went out on slavery, forcefully kidnapped and ferried out of Igbo land, you know, across the Atlantic Ocean and to different parts of the world. And this has had an effect on us as a people as well. And we will go into it just like it's had an effect on other African ethnicities, because we are not the only people that suffered from slavery. Virtually the whole of Africa, you know, felt the terrible impact of slavery.
That we were selling the people, not them coming. I find it rather odd that a people who are numbering in their millions, in the case of some people that went to Virginia area, who were even Scottish people owned slaves, even Welsh people owned slaves. Why were we not able to organize ourselves to resist? To resist the invasion of the slave raiders. Why were we not able to organize ourselves to resist them? Because what happened during slavery is happening now. Our people are dying, they are being slaughtered, people are suffering, people on a daily basis are witnessing things that when you hear about it, you shudder. But people are also, Igbo people, going on with their businesses all over the world without a care in the world. The same thing that happened that made slavery possible. A handful of men with a ship will come anchor off the coast of the Bight of Biafra, and they will come ashore on very tiny boats, sometimes 2-3 white people. They will come in and be raiding our villages, and our men will do nothing about it. People said, oh, it's not affecting my village, why do I need to bother? The same thing that is happening in the north today. These analogies are being drawn to remind our people of our hopelessness in the face of an utter demise of a race, our hopelessness in the face of humiliation, our stupidity and ignorance. When our lives are in danger, our way of life is being wiped away, we are being cleansed from history, and yet we learn nothing from it. We are today reporting that Ben Nwabeze, who is a professor, he claims he's a professor, does not understand what other professors are saying. And as our dear brother said, we have lost our moral compass as a people. We are basking in stupidity and ignorance without knowing anything about it. We are dying, and yet we think we are alive. If we are alive, how come somebody who drives a cattle is your ruler? How come somebody in the north can give you Rocha Sokrocha and you, as your governor, you accept? They give you Ojo Zokalo and you take. They give you Theodology and you take. They give you Peter Obi, who will kill you, and you take. Why is it that when Peter Obi is even killing you and dumping you in the Zuri River, you cannot? You are blind. You are looking at floating corpses and you are blind. You can't see them. You cannot connect the horrors of the Zuri River to your own personal experience as a human being, having thought that as any right-thinking person would, that who knows, that could have been me, which is the basis of civilization, the basis of human advancement. And I will go back to remind Professor Nwabeze of what this dear lady said. She said, it is unclear to me, she's talking about herself, why some scholars, including Professor Ben Nwabeze, these are my own words, of the African diaspora, including those who are in America, working from month to month, year to year, not going home, not knowing what to do with themselves. They are the modern slaves here in America, and it is to them that we have brought redemption. Because of them, we have come here to let them know that there's an alternative. There is a way to get out of this mess, and that way is by supporting Biafra. These are the people who have been enamored with theories of boundaries and identity formation, that they apply them to all black Africans and use these theories to deny the existence of self-conscious group among any Africans on either side of the Atlantic, because of the formation of Nigeria, because of our acceptance of the formation of Nigeria, because of our acquiescence to the hopelessness of the state of the country called Nigeria, because of our almost ignorant submission to anything that comes from Europe. We have lost our self-consciousness as a people. Nobody gives a damn about us. Nobody is studying us. What happened to the Jews are happening to us. We are being carted off into slavery of all manner. Nobody is complaining. They are killing us in the north. Nobody is complaining. We are in America working for 25 hours in 24-hour working day. Nobody is pausing to think, to say to themselves, is this what life is all about? The people that you are in their country, is that how they are behaving? Is that how they are working? What did the Americans do to free America from the bondage of monarchical rule from Britain? What are you going to do yourself as a human being to free yourself from this modern day slavery? We continue to say, according to this very book, that modern nations as we know them did not exist in sub-Saharan Africa. These are learned people writing. Nigeria never existed, because only God can create a nation. But they did not exist in Europe or the Americas either. The modern nonsense you have happening in Africa did not happen in Europe, has never happened in Europe, and can never happen in Europe, because their men and women are sensible. They are not Africans who are incapable of reasoning for themselves. Sometimes we get a bit apologetic about this. Oh, please don't say, we are the masters of our own misfortune. We are solely responsible for the mess befalling us. To blame only 5 million people for what is happening to over 50 million people is abominable, and it's unacceptable to us here at Radio Biafra. We call a spade a spade and not a shovel. Here we tell ourselves the truth that we may be able to correct it. If you're joining us for the first time, if you're joining us again, we welcome you to this program. You know the number to call. The lines are open, and you may call us if you wish to do so. We are making this program today an educational one. We are presenting it to make it possible for our people to understand where we are coming from, so we can know where we are going. We want to know, establish today, where the rain started falling, so we'll know where to avoid it in the future. Please, where's our... Yes, please.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yes, you mentioned a couple of things about, you know, we mentioned Prophet Mwabeze and the boundaries of the people, and you know, the fact that our identity is subsumed under the colonial identity, artificial identity, something that is not natural. The natural identity is also as ethnic nations. The real nations are the ethnic nations. They were formed naturally. The artificial nations of colonial nations created by foreigners who did not know the people who were living there very well, simply because they overran their geographical enclave and imposed their own government upon them and their own ways of life upon them. That is what we are under, and that is affecting us adversely. And like I said before, that since Europe has had 32 nations in 1990, created new nations, there is no reason why such a thing, such a privilege, or such a right, sorry, not even a privilege, a right should not be extended to Africans themselves, extension of Africans. It's important that we Africans know that, advocate for it, and speak up for that. Because if we don't speak up for that, nobody will speak up for us. And this is what I'm saying, that also is prior to that was a slavery happened to us.
We have to allow to learn. Let's take this call. This is Radio Biafra. Please give us your name and where you are, please. This is Radio Biafra, and turn your system off. Banyonya, Ijinegani, I am listening to my voice. I don't like it.
Right should not be extended to.
They are not listening. They, as usual, they are not listening. For the day, I don't know what is wrong with them. If you call Radio Biafra on Skype, you turn your system off. Banyonya, I don't know why our people cannot hear or understand. We've said this thing in English and in Igbo as well. Why can't you understand? You turn it off when you call Radio Biafra. Please go ahead.
Yes.
Yes, continue from where you were before.
As I was saying, that colonial delineation was possible because of slavery as well. You know, that was the legacy of slavery was colonization. The legacy of colonization was neo-colonization. And we are seeing that slavery took place and people were targeted specifically to go to different parts of the world, to be taken to different parts of the world. Yes, it is the fault of the people who have who came and kidnapped Africans, but it's also our own fault as well. There are certain things we did. And like I said, part of the reason why that befell us was also could be traced to our own spirituality. You know, as Christians, we believe that, and as Igbo people, you know, and as Biafrans, we believe that actions have consequences spiritually. I'm sure all of us believe that. That you just don't go and do commit evil, you know, and get away with it. You don't just do good and there is no reward for it. That belief is so essential to who we are as a people. It's so essential. If we don't believe in that, then there is no reason to worry about Nigeria. Nigeria can just go on, you know, doing what it wants to do, you know, running everybody roughshod, spilling blood, you know. And like I said, Nigeria has spilled so much blood in its existence, 52 years of its existence, that it is so guilty that it's sentenced to death as a nation. And it will not survive. We all know that now, and everybody else is saying that. You know, some people who know that and but cannot speak boldly about it are clamoring for sovereign national conference. We've seen President Nwabeze do that several times. You know, but what is it in sovereign national conference to be talked about? Is it not about?
Did you say he's a professor? Are you sure he's a professor? Does he know what professorship is and what it means? These men are not educated. They have certificate professor. If you are an engineer, you cannot engineer anything. You are a waste of space. The engineer you're being called means nothing. If you are a doctor who cannot heal, you are nothing. If you claim you're a professor and you cannot understand in your infinite wisdom that Nigeria as an enclave, Nigeria as a geopolitical entity, is not only a contraption but is an impediment to tangible human development, then there is something wrong with you. That is why I don't regard these people as anybody. That is why I don't regard them as intelligent people. And I can never, ever regard them as intelligent people. If you are joining us for the very first time, that this is Radio Biafra. We are coming to you today from Los Angeles here in California. Please, 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 wherever you are, if you wish to call us, our number is on the top right-hand corner of your screen. You can also join us via Skype by adding Radio Biafra to your Skype contact list. Add Radio Biafra to your Skype contact list. We are welcoming you from wherever you are on this planet. I hope everything is okay, is it? Mm-hmm. Wonderful, please.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so thank you, Namdi, for what you just said. It's good to remind those. Repetitions of some of these things, I believe, is for people who are just listening in. You know, some people are just listening for the first time, Radio Biafra. So it's good to repeat certain principles of what the Biafran people believe in so that they can hear it and they can know about it. So as I'm saying, slavery affected us so profoundly as Africans, and it affected Biafrans as well. And people are taken from the Bight of Biafra. That was what it was called then, you know. And Bight of Biafra and taken
to slaves. We are taken from Bight of Biafra. That is what the white, you see, it is rather very ironic. The same white people came and said, your name is now Nigeria. They took, when they were coming to take the slaves, when they were giving them the maps of where to go and capture free men, to go and capture people and bring to the Americas, to bring to take to the Caribbean and to take to Europe, they called it Bight of Biafra. That is the map they were given. It is called Bight of Biafra. They ignored that name, Biafra. They came and incorporated Biafra as part of Nigeria, and they're now telling you that it is a crime. You have grown-up men and women in the U.S. When you mention Biafra, they're hiding under their beds, even in the United States of America. And when you say to somebody, please call Radio Biafra Studio, they will tell you, no, we don't want to call them because the Nigerian police will seize, Nigerian spirit will come and seize our phone or do something to it. When Biafra was the map that was given to raiders to come and take us into captivity, Biafra existed before Nigeria ever did. And for those who say, oh, Biafra is a Portuguese name, is a Portuguese name, or whatever name that they claim to call it, oh, where did the word Biafra come from? Why was it that there was no Nigeria then? How come there was no bite of Biafra, of Nigeria, or bite of any other place apart from Biafra? People had the names of the indigenous people that they met wherever they went to. That is why we have that name enshrined even in a map recognized by the earliest explorers visiting that part of the world. That the name and the word Biafra existed for hundreds of years before Nigeria came into existence. And anybody who fails to accept that is not a student of history. Talk less of modern history. That goes to show that they are not enlightened, they are not educated. Anybody who supports Nigeria has something missing. Yes, we talked about a few things we said we're going to run through this very evening today. One of them being the presence here in the United States of a lot of our people. You did say there was somebody who was saying something a while ago about the lineage of Michelle Obama. And her family, are they in any way connected to the Igbo race? Are they in any way Igbo at all? What anecdotal evidence are there? What other sort of verifiable evidence do you have at your disposal to indicate that there is some kind of lineage, albeit not yet scientifically proven, that that woman has some type of Igbo blood in her?
There is certainly a belief Michelle Obama has a connection to Igbo ancestry. This is not to claim some kind of privilege or perquisite for us as a people. No, it's just facts as they are. Rabbi Kipas Funye is a black man born in Southern Carolina, but he's a rabbi and he has a synagogue that he runs in Chicago. Rabbi Kipas Funye happened to be one of the people who were in Igbo landing in 2003, to honor those of our people who drowned to death.
Where is this rabbi based?
He's based in Chicago, yeah. And he has a synagogue where he worships with his congregation. Kepas Funye is the name.
Is he an Igbo man?
Kepas Funye traces ancestry to Igbo land.
But he's an Igbo American.
Yeah, Igbo American.
He's an Igbo American, original and native to that part of the world.
Exactly.
Living in Chicago.
Yes.
He was the one, did he write a book or did he comment on Obama's, on Mrs. Obama's ancestry? What happened?
Oh, yes, he commented on Mrs. Obama's ancestry, his relationship to Mrs. Obama. But he himself also attended the Igbo landing meeting or conference, where our people gathered to honor Saint Samuel Land off the coast of Georgia.
That's correct.
Where Igbo slaves drowned to death in, I think, around early 1800s.
That's correct, yes.
I think it's the time of Thomas Jefferson's presidency.
Yes.
When they came to the United States and they saw what was going to become of them, and they said, rather than be slaves, that they will march and die. They said they were going back. In fact, the song they said they were singing, translated in Igbo, because it was written in English, was the water, in English was written, "The water brought us, and the water would take us back."
Yes.
And it was translated in Igbo as Orimilikai Jibia, Orimilikai Gesowena.
Yes.
And they were singing this and chanting this, and then walked into the ocean and died. And that was also used as a folklore in African American stories about Africans flying back to Africa, the desire for these people to go back to Africa. So they were clinging on that story as an inspiration of resistance towards oppression,
because
towards slavery.
Because we don't like slavery. Slavery is not a part of us. We resist evil wherever we see it because we are God's own chosen people. Yeah. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you're calling from, please. Your name and where you are.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, the caller on Skype. Go ahead. We are listening. This is Radio Biafra from Los Angeles in California, United States. Go ahead.
Afamo Mahapwe.
Mahapwe, Claudia had the hand come. Mahapwe, Waha, Ke, Owaha, Nagi, Owaha, go on. Can you please speak up? I can't hear you. Speak up, please. I can't hear you. Speak up, please.
I say my name is Mahapwe from Imo State.
You are, this is Radio Biafra. We are not here for childish play. This is Radio Biafra. If you cannot give us your name, you cannot speak to us. Thank you very much for calling all the same. Please go ahead.
Yes, as I was saying, hopefully that brother will be able to come on so we can hear him. It's very
is that his name is Mahakwe. We don't entertain such rubbish on Radio Biafra. We don't take people who are not serious. Our people are dying. We are very serious about getting Biafra. We are not here to waste our time with people who are not serious. Please go ahead.
Okay, so Namdi, I beg for your patience towards them.
If you come in and say what your name is, we can tolerate you. You cannot come and then cheapen a program of this magnitude by coming up, conjuring up a useless name and saying your name is Mahakwe. What does that, what sort of rubbish is that? If you are not serious, it is not an abbreviation, not at all.
Oh, okay.
I asked him to give me his name and his surname. He said it's Mahakwe, the name, his mother and father. What type of nonsense is that? Please go ahead.
Maybe we'll find out later. Yeah, okay. So like I was saying, Professor Kepas Funye, he was there at Igbo Landing, you know, to honor the dead brothers. And because he's Igbo American, he was born in Southern Carolina. And he he's related to Michelle Obama, who's the First Lady of the United States. This was written also in New York Times, you know, after Obama was first inaugurated. You know, they wrote about, I think the title was Obama's Rabbi. And, you know, they mentioned also his ancestry and his connections of the family, which is multicultural and multilingual, you know, to different peoples in Africa and to Europe as well, and to Indonesia, you know. And that was it about him. So, and he is one of the people who is also talking about issues relating to our own origin as a people, as Igbo people. You know, I remember that Reverend George Thomas Basden came to Igbo land around 1900, and was sent by the Christian Missionary Society to come and evangelize in Igbo land, to bring the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to our people. And he came and he sojourned in Igbo land for over, I think, 25 years. And this is an English man. And he set out from Liverpool and came to Igbo land around 1900. And so he wrote a book titled The Igbos of Nigeria. Some of us have read it, you know. And in that, he enumerated certain cultural attributes of our people, you know. And a book which he wrote and published by 1921. It's quite significant in that it opened, it's able to have some important recordings regarding our people's culture.
Hold on to that. Let's take this call, please. Yeah. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name, your full name, your name, and your father's name, and where you're calling from, please. Your name, your father's name, and where you're calling from.
My name is Paul. Hello, my name is Paul. I'm calling from Ghana.
Paul, what is your
Paul
surname?
Obinna, I'm calling from.
Paul Obinna from Ghana. Go ahead. The world is listening. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm calling first of all to commend you guys on the good work you are doing. And
please, can you talk to us? You are listening to the playback on your radio, which is echoing. Can you talk to us, please, and not the radio? Speak to us via Skype, please.
From Imo State.
Yes, go ahead, please. What would you like to say?
Okay, what I want to say is that, like I said earlier, I want to commend you guys for what you are doing, but I have some concerns which I want you to address.
Go ahead.
And first of all, okay, so what actually I want to say is that I really want you guys to avoid some comments about the Yorubas. You guys are, maybe one or two things you are saying about the Yorubas, I think it's not nice. Okay, because if we are fighting for Biafra, we are fighting for Biafra. But, you know, when we are using some inciting words, it will go a long way to go against some of our people, especially in Lagos. So, whatever we are doing, we should be able to moderate and have a strategy. And even insulting Nigeria will attract unnecessary attention. And this is why some of the times you see that you are having attacks. I think we can really avoid all those things and still move ahead and get Biafra. So I don't want us to be insulting Yorubas and all those things. I don't feel comfortable in that.
Are you a Yoruba Thank person? You. Are you Yoruba? Hello? I wanted to ask him if he was a Yoruba person. But the Yorubas felt comfortable killing us in our millions, killed over 2 million people, which Awolowo himself personally masterminded. The Yorubas are comfortable driving away Zeke from Ibadan in 1954. The Yorubas are very, very comfortable displacing us in Lagos, giving us places to build, and then we develop it, they drive us away. They are very, very comfortable. They are comfortable conniving with Hausa people to kill and maim our people in the north. Tinubu have just gone to join Buhari to form what is in effect an Islamic super party in APC. Our people are dying, and you're telling me I shouldn't insult Nigerian government when they are responsible for the death of our people. This is Radio Biafra. If you don't like what we are saying, you go and try NTA. This is Radio Biafra. We are going to get Biafra, or we die trying to get Biafra. If you underestimate our resolve, you just watch and see. Nigeria is a basket case. Nigeria. This is Radio Biafra. Turn your system down. Banyoya, speak to us via your Skype, please. Your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, now my name is Kelecho Foleta. I'm calling you from New Zealand.
Go ahead. Wellington. Thank you very much. You're welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I know I was actually woken up by this the stupid last caller, because there will be no way we, the Biafrans, will ever stop insulting Nigeria. Talk of stopping to insult Yoruba people. They starved us to death. They killed us. They are also writing stupid things about us on the internet, and they are actually planning to sue us using our own person, and they are telling us not to insult them. How I wish I can see that man and I will insult him face to face. So my point is that his call must be disregarded immediately. That we don't even want somebody like him to call Radio Biafra again, talk of telling us what to do and what not to do. The freedom fighting that we Biafrans are in fighting for this particular time, the Yorubas and the Hausas will never tell us how to fight it. We will fight it anyhow we want to fight it. The aim is to get Biafra, even if it means we dying in the cause. It doesn't concern Yoruba, it doesn't concern them, and they should stop telling us how to fight this fight.
Thank you, my brother.
So that's my contribution for
thank
today.
You. Thank you have you restored so my faith in our people. I thought we have lost our senses. You have restored my faith. Thank
not
you very
at
much.
All.
Thank you very, very much, and God bless you. Let's go and take this call. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you're calling from. We are in Los Angeles, and I'm on Nnamdi Kanu. What is your name and where are you calling from?
This is Eze from Dallas, Texas.
Eze from Dallas, Texas. Thank you very much. Eze, what is your surname?
Njoko.
Ndewo.
Eze Njoko from Owerri.
Thank you very much.
I'm in here.
Ndewo. Go ahead. The world is listening. That's what we want to know.
Yes, the guy that come from Ghana has provoked some people. I don't know whether that guy has heard about the history of what Biafra suffered during the Nigerian Civil War. I don't know whether his parents have given a little story how people were killing millions by these Hausa hooligans and the Yorubas. I think that guy, I don't think that guy is an Igbo guy.
You don't think so?
I don't think that guy is an Igbo guy, because it was really good for him to mention his name when you're asking his name.
That is correct.
I think he's a Yoruba guy. Is this some of these Igbo people that have been, you know, mingling with Yorubas and other things? But I think that guy should go and study the history of how our people suffered by the hand of the outside Yorubas. And he should also understand that Radio Biafra is not a government center. This is a public channel.
Yes.
So we are free to say whatever we want to say.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. We like that. You told me a while ago, please, Odi Mogale, you told me about a public service radio station in this country that speaks the truth. And why is that the case? Because it doesn't accept any commercials. There is no advertisement. The people pay for it. What is the name of that radio station here in the United States? Please, we want to know.
The name is Radio Pacifica. That's what it's called.
Radio Pacifica. Yes, was it what we were listening to in your car?
Exactly.
Radio what again, please?
Radio Pacifica.
How is that radio station supported, please, if I may ask?
It's supported by the listeners.
Listeners.
The listeners pay for it.
Which is exactly what Radio Biafra is doing and asking for. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your full name. I'm Onnamdi Kanu. I'm at the studios of Radio Biafra here in Los Angeles, California, with our brother and our host, Ode Morgalo. Give us your name, please, and where you're calling from.
Yeah, hello. My name is Jude Okoli, calling from Sweden.
Jude from Sweden, please go ahead. The world is listening to you. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm calling on regards the other guy who called from Ghana. You know, I'm really pissed off with that is called. And I'm just wishing, I just have him right here before you right now, or attack him and really devour him seriously. He shouldn't tell us what to do whenever we want to do our thing, because even up till today, the Yoruba are still, you know, they play a very big role in marginalizing the Biafrans. Those evil people that live in Lagos, they live with a mindset and full mentality sleep, you know. That is why you see some of the Igbos there, they also behave like these Yoruba people. If he's unable to absorb just a mere abuse like he said, he should go and hug a transformer. Nobody gives a damn.
Exactly. Exactly.
He has so if he's listening to me now, he has no goddamn right to call and vomit nonsense. If he's not comfortable with that, then he should opt out of the channel. He does not belong here.
Yes. Thank you very much. I couldn't agree more with you. Thank you very, very much. This is to show that our people are listening. Thank you. Our people are listening silently, waiting for some morons to come up, and then they will put in their place. To ask me not to insult Nigeria is an insult on its own. To ask me not to hold Yoruba people to account, the criminal Yoruba people, including their pastors, to account, is to insult the memory of the people that died in the Biafran war with Nigeria, of attrition, presided over by the only man to hold, the only civilian to hold a position in a military government. The only man to do that, his name is Obafemi Awolowo. He's a coward, he's a criminal, he is a war criminal living in his grave. And he is also in hell, rotting away. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, and if I may say something about that, the issue of the war, usually you have some Yorubas who write and say that the Igbos attacked them in Ore, and that why should they attack them, and that is why Awolowo decided to side with Nigeria. But you go and check the dates of this event, you see that Awolowo had already joined the Nigerian government as the finance minister and deputy to go on. Before the war, the Nigeria had also attacked Biafra before that.
Exactly. Let's take this call. This is Radio Biafra. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, please give us your name and where you're calling from, please. This is Radio Biafra from Los Angeles. I am here in the presence of our brother and host here. His name is Ode Morgal, and I'm Onnamdi Kanu. Give us your full name and where you're calling from, please.
Yes, I'm Paul Fike Dike, calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes, go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Yes, I just want to make comments concerning the guy that called from Ghana, saying we shouldn't insult the Yoruba or insult Nigeria. I think this guy is an Igbo person. I don't know if you recall, there was a time I called you and I called the studios, and I told you that the longer we stay in Nigeria, the more the evil people will start acting like Yorubas. This is the resounding effect of this. People living in Lagos, take for instance, a perfect example is the so-called Professor Ben Nwadwesi. This is the type of mindset we have now, we're starting to imbibe, especially those living in Lagos and in Kano. You'll be surprised that the way I say it is that these people that live in Lagos that call themselves Igbos, majority of them are what you have in the United States. That's why you keep pleading for this help. These guys that call them telling us not to speak the truth. I believe that's why he's telling us not to speak the truth indirectly, telling us to shy away from the reality. He wants us to sweep our problems under the carpet. Why we are losing people, they are, you know, those are getting killed. And the CFO that was given by the governors of Lagos State in the past have now been declared fake because the majority of those CFOs
and
are equal to Igbos.
Thank you very much. Now, and he's telling us not to insult you, the bad people. They sell us CFO. They know Nigeria is going to break up and they're going to take our properties. And our people cannot think. They can't reason.
Let me give you an insight. Do you know, you think Lagos is the only place? Ogun State. You know, a lot of stupid people now are pushing, are buying properties in Ogun State. Do you know why find Ogun State? No issue CFO at all. You just apply to just be there. Because we've seen what has happened in Lagos. The majority of Lagosians have sold their properties. They are rented properties to Igbos. Now, you buy land in Ogun State, build your house, but you never get CFO. This is what is happening in Ogun State. And when you go there now, our people are buying up properties. I went through the last I think it was the 6th, the broadcast on the 6th, where you guys were talking about education. Jira and Jam, they used to have this thing in Jam. Majority of the those who had the highest intake of JAM used to come from Imo State. All these things were published on JAM websites. The minute the Yoruba professor took over JAM,
yes,
about two years ago, they took down that information off of JAM website.
You see,
because it showed that Igbos go to school, they get more admission more than any other people in Nigeria. The minute the Yoruba professor took over, became the registrar of JAM, they took down that information.
You see?
So this idiot coming from Ghana, telling us not to tell the truth. For me, telling us not to tell the truth, not to speak the truth. He's an idiot. I don't want to use foul languages, but this is the type of mindset our people are developing. I have to tell you the truth right now.
It's better than one base the mindset.
I've debated with our own people, not even your boss now, concerning this issue of Biafra, even before I discovered Radio Biafra. And I can tell you that 95% of them are in the dark. They have no clue. And when you try to explain things to them, you are begging to respond. It's ignorance. There was a time you made mention of one thing. You said, give me HIV for ignorance. Ignorance is the worst disease you can have. At least HIV you can find a way to minimize it. But ignorance, you can never minimize it. The way it goes around is today, I think we might have to get rid of some idiots. You know what I mean? Professor Ben Wajie, is a classic example. Much as a culture and the so-called governor, P.O.D.R.G. in Abia State. This is what they are doing, fooling themselves, fighting over transport companies.
It's terrible.
Making a mockery of themselves. Go through the headlines, the type of things that is coming out of evil land, firstly, you start to be ashamed of yourself. I haven't said the word evil, I just use the word Biafra. I think it's much better now. It's more dignified.
The word evil is a cursed word. Oh, well, go and ask yourself what we have achieved using the word evil before. I ask people a very simple question. I say name. I don't say name two things or three things. Tell me what you achieved under the banner of Igbo, IGBO. One thing. It is nothing. You have our men prostituting themselves in the north, behaving like fools, like imbeciles under Igbo. You see them with red cap all over the place. Igbo put all jaga gogi doji for 9 days. They're still quarreling over who is going to bring out the knife. What he said. Some nonsense. Calling yourself an Igbo person is sometimes a curse on its own as well, because I have not seen anything they have accomplished. There are Igbo groups in the United States. They are running from Radio Biafra because they cannot stand the truth. And the reason why they're running is because they have Igbo to their name. Thank you very much for calling.
Hold on, Director. Before I leave, please. Do you know this same thing you just said now? People running around using the word Igbo in the United States. I was in Atlanta last year. When they were having this Ojukwu burial, if you see all of them, you think they are Biafrans singing the national anthem.
They are not
Biafrans. I was surprised when you were in Atlanta, none of them showed up.
They ran away. They are not Biafrans. They came for Ojukwu's burial to see maybe if Bianca will turn up, having been appointed as the ambassador to Spain to give them job or contract. They didn't come there to honor Ojukwu or Biafra. It's to have their names on a brochure. Our people are conscientious contractors. They contract their conscience out. They cannot do anything. That is why when they see what we are doing in Radio Biafra, they cannot believe that people can do such a thing. That you can bring out yourself, bring out your resources, sacrifice everything you hold very dear in order to pursue the restoration of the honor of your people. They cannot understand. An average Igbo mind cannot comprehend it. These are the people that were there when slave raiders came and took away men, women, and children into slavery into here in America. They did nothing. Their ancestors did nothing. These imbeciles, these cowards, all over the place. This is Radio Biafra. We speak the truth. If you don't like it, you change. Because we are going to get Biafra, and we say one thing to them. Everybody who is laughing, everybody who is sneering, I want them to laugh more, because it all it does is to spur the editorial board of Radio Biafra on to achieve what we are looking for, because we are going to get Biafra. Nothing can stop it. Go and mark it date or year, date. When we speak, you write it down somewhere on a piece of paper and you write the date when we told you that Biafra is coming. Thank you very much, my brother, and God bless you. Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name, the caller on Skype, your name and where you're calling from, please. Your name and where you are. Hello?
Are you hearing me?
Very well, loud and clear. Give us your name and where you are, please. This is Radio Biafra. This is Radio Biafra. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I don't think they can. I do not think they can. Let us go to this one, please. Give us your name, the caller on the phone, your name and where you are. This is Radio Biafra.
Yeah, good morning. My name is Stanley Okpara. I'm calling from Belgium.
Stanley Okpara from Belgium, please go ahead.
Yeah, I want to thank you for a wonderful job you are doing. And also, I want to comment about the guy that come from Ghana. He's telling us that Radio Biafra should not insult Nigeria. Now he's in Ghana enjoying a retreat and enjoying good water running. Let him go to that his country called Nigeria. If he can see a retreat or even they will kidnap him. So he should not call Radio Biafra and start saying we should not insult Nigeria or we should not insult Yoruba. Maybe his fellows never tell him anything about the war, what Awolowo would be. And 3.5 million Biafra that died. So if he doesn't have nothing to say, he should not call the Biafra. So that is what I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yeah, these things that are being said about the West, the relationship of us as a people and Yoruba people, it's very important, I believe, that our people understand that, blood is thicker than water. You know, when they try to coax you because you're living in Lagos, you know, to now begin to bend your principles, and please refuse. Refuse to bend your principles. You know, say the truth. Anybody who cannot stand the truth, including you yourself, is simply on the side of the devil.
It's not for Biafra now.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, this idea of history wasn't taught in Nigeria. The history of Biafra. Is it not part of the history of those people who are there? Yeah, but they never taught it. And now that you have means of communication, they don't even want you to mention it. Everybody's always scared to discuss about this history. Why are they scared to discuss it? Why are they scared to talk about it? Those who are scared are those who want the truth covered. They want the truth buried. They don't want people to know the truth. And that is it. But the facts are out. It has been out. And it could continue to stand as the truth that Awolowo was behind he contrived the policy of using starvation as a means of war policy against Igbo people, and it cost more than 2 million lives. And we know that, and he's very guilty of it. He's a genocidist, and so are those people who support him. They are evil people.
Yes,
anybody who will support a genocidist or stand up for him, look, that person is evil.
It's like telling the Israelis not to insult Hitler.
Exactly.
Can you imagine?
It's like telling the Jews not to to come and embrace Hitler. Germany is still paying. They'll be paying reparations for them.
Let's take this call, please, and see what they have to say. This is Radio Biafra. Do we have a caller on Skype? Are you there? The caller.
Yes. My name is Kenneth Richuku Onyedikam. I'm calling from Dublin, Ireland.
Yes, please.
Actually want to respond to the guy from Ghana. You see, these are mosquitoes. So that's a mosquito. The guy from Ghana is just a mosquito that want to bite. So if you can analyze surnames of evil surnames, how ancient we are, coming to say that his surname is Obinna.
It's true.
You can analyze it that that is evil name he just remembered.
Yes.
So Obinna.
It's true. Have we lost you? Oh my goodness me. Our dear brother from Ireland, we have lost you. We are suggesting you call us back, please, in Cameroon. We are recommending you call us back as quickly as possible, please. We have lost your line. It is not there anymore. If you are joining us, please, that this is Radio Biafra. If you are joining us for the very first time, that we are coming to you live and direct from Los Angeles. We are here being hosted by our dear brother. His name is Mogalo. That is Mogalo in your area. No, but you are Mogalo.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, from Newi. They are here. He is hosting us with his dear wife, and they are taking care of us very well. They are Biafrans. They are not Igbo people. They are Biafrans. That is the difference. Please go ahead, my dear brother. You are back with us. Onyedikam, you are back with us.
Yes, Nandi. Sorry, I don't know what happened. So we can actually know these people when they're caught.
Stay where you are. Don't go away. Stay where you are. Let's take this call. Stay where you are. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name, the caller on the phone, your name, and where you are, please.
Hello. My name is Paul. I called earlier, and I'm calling now just to correct an impression. I think I was totally misunderstood. I never meant to say that we shouldn't be insulting Yoruba and Nigeria just for that. No, I know that they deserve our insult. Nigeria deserves our insult. I know all these things. But, you know, here is where we owe our views. You know, I was just trying to say that maybe, you know, this Radio Biafra, this is the only avenue we have to listen. I listen to this program every evening. Even if I miss it, I will listen to weekly. Okay? So this is the only avenue we have. I was just thinking, like suggesting that instead of us, maybe if we saw them, they would try to attack the system so that we will not listen to it again, that we use it as a strategy, because our total aim is just to get Biafra. We use it as a strategy to avoid them, okay? Because sometimes Mr. Nnamdi Kanu will be saying that maybe there are some attacks on their computer. I think that just to avoid all those distractions, we should focus. That is what I meant. And I start to be corrected. I never meant that maybe we shouldn't be insulting them because they don't deserve it. No, I know that they deserve to be buried alive. I know that, but this is the only channel we have. So that is what I meant. And I can be corrected, and maybe somebody can tell me the reason why we should continue going, and I will accept it. So I didn't call because I heard some people trying to, you know, say some certain things about my person, but that wasn't what I meant.
Okay.
That is why I'm calling. So, because even in Ghana here, I am organizing some events based on this particular decision. I am sensitizing people, giving people, telling people about Radio Biafra. So that was just my personal opinion. Okay, it was just a personal opinion, and I can be corrected.
Yes. Is first of all, I thank you for calling back, because it's very brave of you to call back. That goes to show that perhaps you're a Democrat. You believe in debate the way we do. This is an open platform, as you said. It's a platform for free speech. That was where we took your call. We don't censor any speech. You have redeemed yourself. You have clarified yourself. But I will say this thing to you: anybody that knows that Biafra is coming and has an interest against Biafra will attack our system. If we say anything about them or not, because they hate us naturally.
So if we go to them, if we mention them, if we don't mention them, they will attack our systems. But we are Biafrans. Not only are we Biafrans, we are created by the good God himself and not by any other person. There is nothing they do to us we cannot overcome. Ojukwu told them many, many years ago that even the stones will rise up to fight for Biafra. He meant it literally. And the time has come. And we are going to take possession of our inheritance, which is our freedom. Yoruba people are dead in the water. We want them to do their worst. And should we fail to get Biafra, everybody is going down with us. Everybody, Hausa, there will be nobody left in that country. Everything there will die. We want the world to understand where we are coming from, that life to us is meaningless. Life is absolutely meaningless. And we are telling them that they either let us go or the whole place goes down with everybody in it. Then the white man can come and suck oil forever. That's what we're telling them. So we are not afraid of anybody. Talk less. Who are Yoruba people? They have never won any war in their life. Bini conquered them. They came from Bini people. All they know is mouth. To make mouth, to deceive, to cheat, and to lie. That's what they do. They are cowards.
So if they are, who comes them come out? Yeah, I just hope that I've clarified myself, and the subsequent comments will know that that is not what I meant. I never meant to maybe say that without having right to insult them. That wasn't what I meant.
That's okay.
I was just trying to suggest it as a strategy, because by all means, they will be trying to distract us or like attacking the system, all those things. That was why I suggested that.
No.
And I stand to be corrected, and I will accept it wholeheartedly, because I don't want anything to affect, because sometimes if I don't get rid of Biafra, I'll be thinking maybe they have attacked it. You understand me? Like, yes. I mean, that's what I'll be thinking. So that was why I suggested that anyway. So I never meant to say that all they did was right. No, that wasn't my intention. So
thank you very much. Thank you very much. This is Radio Biafra. The caller on the phone, your name and where you are, please. This is Radio Biafra. Your name and where you are, please. The caller on the phone.
Yes, my name is Lawrence Chukwudia, so calling from Greece. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're calling from Greece. Go ahead, we can hear you. Raise your voice, please. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, my voice is up. I want to contribute and say thank you to
Your line is not clear, my brother. Please try and call us back. It's not clear. Kenneth Rehm, are you still there from Dublin? Are you still there? Are you still there? No, I don't think they are. We'll try and get him back. I don't know if he's still there. Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me? No, I don't think you can hear me. Yes, please, go ahead, my dear brother, please go ahead.
Yes, so lest we forget what I was saying before, going to our spiritual practices as a people, as Ndibo, we need to investigate it and see where we have gone wrong and be able to correct it. I discussed with you the issue, and you mentioned this word, and I wrote it down, words, corrupt priesthood being affecting us in Igbo land. Our religion and our religiosity, we need to look into it and examine it and expunge whatever we feel is negative in it. And where I'm going to, because Biafra, we can't go into Biafra with uncleanliness, with wickedness. You know, God will not grant it to us. You know, if you go through the scriptures, for example, and I know we are Christians, we are people of the scripture, we are people of the book, as they say in some quarters. You go through the scriptures, one thing that God had mentioned in the Bible that he detests, the most important thing that he detests, is idolatry. Idolatry, that is having something else as God beside him. You know, this is, we need to get through a spiritual renaissance, sort of, a spiritual transformation, you know, where we have to, with understanding, that we have to be upright people for God to grant us our freedom. Because our freedom, we're not held back by Nigeria. It is us and what we're doing and our relationship with God that determines that, whether we have our Biafra complete freedom or not.
So that is my personal belief. And when we mentioned about corrupt priesthood, we mentioned about the practices, ritual practices of our people. And this is, if you go to the scriptures, and for those who want to check this, you can do so. Priesthood must only be from direct descendants of Aaron in Numbers 18, yes. 1 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what is written. If you go to Numbers 18, 1 to 7, it talks about priesthood coming from direct descendants of Aaron. But if you go to 1 Kings 12, 31, Jeroboam built shrines in high places and appointed priests from all sorts of people, even though they were not Levites in Israel. And this was when, during the time of apostasy, Solomon had done certain things that God didn't want him to do. He had gone and married foreign wives, people who worship other gods, and they brought in those gods into Israel, obviously, and they began to turn his heart away from God Almighty. And this was also mentioned in the Bible earlier as one of the decrees that God gave. He told them, do not worship or do not marry from other places. Not because those people were inferior to them. No, God is not into the inferiority business of one person being more inferior than another. No. Israel is not chosen because they are superior. And he mentioned it to them. He said, I'm doing this not because I'm sending you into this land, not because of your righteousness. You're not, you don't have that righteousness. He said, but because of the sin that those people were committing. That's why he drove them out of that land. So it's very important we keep this in mind. And when Solomon began to marry other wives from different lands, you know, and these wives are married in separate, in certain ways. For example, in terms of treaty, if you want to form a treaty with another king, you exchange your daughter for his own. And his daughter, you marry his daughter, he marries your own. This ensures that you have a sense of security in your relationship between that nation and another nation, so that you don't attack each other. Because you don't want to attack where your daughter is, or to kill yeah, of course, yeah. your own grandchildren and things like that. So this is it. But the fact remains that even though those were considerations, they were considerations above God's own law, which said do not marry from other places. It was clear that they will bring these ideas into you,
yes.
and you begin to disobey God.
Yes, you know, a lot of people don't understand Omen Allah. When you ask them, they say, oh, we are not Jews, we believe in Omen Allah, we're going back to Omen Allah. And you ask them, where did Omen Allah come from? They cannot actually pinpoint scripturally or any reference point where Omen Allah comes from. The same way I ask them, where did Lord Lugard come from? Where did the word Nigeria originate from? What our people don't understand is that all the nonsense you're seeing in Igbo towns and villages, they say this is Okeja shrine, that is that shrine, that is not our way of life and has never been from time immemorial. As we were discussing it a while ago, and you referenced it now as well, right, yeah. from the time of Jeroboam, people who are not meant to be priests were appointed priests into the house of God when going explicitly against the biblical edict, a scriptural edict that says only the house of Aaron shall provide those that will serve the Lord. Not even Moses, who is Aaron's brother, not even Moses' children and generations that came after him were qualified enough to serve the Lord. God yes. had his reason for that.
Of course.
Yet, our people don't understand when and somebody from the fake priesthood come and tell you, this beautiful girl, there's a banjo holding her, because of that they're going to serve one RSA somewhere, that kind of nonsense is not Omen Allah Igbo, has never been Igbo culture and can never be. These are corrupt versions. Anything that is idolatry, that means a visual representation of God. If you worship any other thing other than the God of Most High, Chineke Nanki Igwe, Chineke Nkusunile Nkendiaga, you are mistaken. You are not worshiping God. And that tradition is not Igbo tradition. Go and check it very well. It has been corrupted. Anywhere you have any more, be it the one they have at Okeja, be the one about at Chokoneze, all those places, they are all nonsense. They are not Igbo culture. The killing of twins is not part of Igbo culture. That was even why God allowed the white people to invade and take us in the first place. It was because of our sins, because we were selling ourselves, we were killing twins. God had to go, as he has done to Israelites over the years. When you sin, he will bring external people to come and punish you. He can't come from heaven or send his angels direct. He will send those around you to conquer you and to put you in a big mess. that we did not learn our lessons from there until Nnamdi Azikiwe tried to go and rule Nigeria, which is a no-no. It is a no-no in life. You don't go to try to rule another person. Through Nnamdi Azikiwe, the Northerners found a means to come and destroy us, or what was left of us. And today we have gone full circle into a very... The type of religious practice we have is unheard of. It is unheard of. And that is why we are being killed by Boko Haram. That is why we are slaves. And the worst part of it is that some of us don't even know we are slaves. Modern day slavery here, not only in the contraption in the Zoological Republic of Nigeria, but also outside. You are in the zoo, you're a slave. You are outside, you are also a slave, and you don't know it. And because you have something called a certificate that tells you that somehow you can read and write, you think you are free. No, my dear, you are not free. You are still a slave until Biafra comes. Without Biafra, anybody from that part of the world is nothing but a simple compound slave. You are nothing more than a slave, and you don't deserve the respect of a human being. Please go ahead.
Yes. So as I was saying, again, if you go to scriptures, the office of the priesthood in Israel is very, very unique. It is something that you don't play with. You know, there was a time that Aaron's children, Nadab and Abihu, you know, went to offer unauthorized sacrifice, you know, and they died because of it. They died right there. He lost two of his children. You know, so we have to understand where, because like I said, I quoted Basden, who came here and said that our culture reflects this, the Levitical order. It reflects Mosaic practice. He came in 1900 and he saw our culture. But there are certain things that has affected us so badly because we fell from grace. And as we saw Israel fall from grace here with Jeroboam, in the time of Jeroboam, because of the sins of Solomon,
yes.
God called prophet Abijah and told him to send him to Jeroboam to let him know that he's going to divide Israel because of the sins of the house of David now, which is coming from Solomon. And because of it, because these people brought their idols into Israel, defiling the land. And you know that
Jeroboam with the Pentecostal churches.
Yeah, and you know that in Igbo land there is what we call Imeruala.
Yes.
So Imsala. And you see it there, and you see it scripturally. God says that you shouldn't do certain things because you defile the land, and if you defile that land will cast you out. It will spew you out. We see our land spewing our people out. We see our land driving our people out, even from slavery. How many years ago now? 400 years ago, almost. And then we see us in this generation also living in Igbo land, not of our own will, but because of economic strangulation. And when you talk about this, you have some of our people who deny that that is not what is happening. But we know that is true. These things have spiritual undertones, underlying effects that are into it. And like I said about our relationship with other people, anybody who will see evil and not condemn it, don't have anything to do with them. They are evil. And what you see in Nigeria is, despite all those evil, you see all of them angling for what they will gain.
Yes.
Not to condemn the evil that is taking place. They are angling for what they will gain. Some people are looking simply for their comfort. You know, where should I be comfortable? And he runs away to one country over there, and he lives there and dies there. That is not the way you are supposed to live. He doesn't have any feelings to come back home. Home becomes something of a dread to our people. You know, when they come, they talk about kidnapping and all the rest of it. These things came from certain defilements that came into our culture and our religion. Mm-hmm. And then you have in a village meeting, you have an old man speaking and you have a young man simply because he made money telling him to sit down. What type of nonsense is that? It should be intolerable. But when you such things happen, everybody keeps quiet. You begin to defile the spirit of people who are there. When they see that message will move out, and they will talk about how this young man told the old man to sit down that he doesn't have money, and then and when he tells him to sit down, we say, well, okay, go on the kotunya nifa, you know, his advice, how much does it cost?
Yes,
that type of idolatry, because that is what it is, came and destroyed our land. So young people now who are growing up will come up And then they'll see people behaving this way and they say, oh, so if I don't have money, I will not be accepted by people. If I don't have money, I won't be accepted by my people. Acceptance of a person in our culture, in our society, is no more based on his uprightness. It's not so based on righteousness. It's simply based on money. He can get money. You know, sometimes people go and steal and come and donate money, and then they accept the money donated. They donate it to a school.
Churches, yes,
he can donate it to school or donate it to a church. If you donate it to a church, the pastor will accept it. If you donate it to a school, the principal will accept it. You know, this is you accepting ill-gotten gain, because if you knew that that money was gotten in the way that is not right, you are accepting ill-gotten gain. There are spiritual consequences for all those things. So this is something we have to look at in a little bit deeper. When we see the kingship in Israel and how it came, if you read the book of Kings, you see that Israel divided, split because of this sin. And you had 20 kings in Israel and 20 kings in Judah, because he split into two, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah in the south.
That's
then
correct.
Israel in the north. Israel had 20 kings. All 20 of them worshipped idols. So they went on exile because of it in 722 BC. And this Judah, out of their 20 kings, 12 of them worshipped idols. 8 worshipped God. And they also went to exile. They went to exile for 70 years into Babylon in 586 BC. And when they came back, that was when Ezra started Judaism. What is today called Judaism? The people they call the Jews. It just comes from the word Judah.
That's correct.
Yeah, and then they stayed there for the next 500 years before they were sacked in 70 AD. But if you look at it, we see that Israel went on exile 722 years before Christ. That is to teach us that time has caused certain things to be lost in our culture. The reflection of this is, and please, anybody who is listening can check these things. So the priesthood was very, very critical. If you look at 1 Samuel 2, 12 to 36, about Eli's sons, they said that Eli's sons were wicked, in that they did certain things that you don't do in prison. Eli was a direct descendant of Aaron, you know, and what his sons were doing was that when people come to give their offerings, they take the fattened and choicy parts of it, of the offering made by the people of Israel, and this provoked God. And not only that, they slept with the women who served at the entrance of the meeting. This is sacrilegious. You don't do that. And because of it, God told Eli that he will punish him, that he cut his strength short and the strength of his father's house, so that there was no old man in Eli's line. They saw distress in their days and in their dwelling.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. And we are here to enlighten and educate our people, and that is what we are doing. This is Radio Biafra. Please give us your name and where you're calling from. Please, your name and where you are.
Well, this is Juanny Ferrana from Willis, Texas again. Very interesting program you have. Your teacher there, I'm very impressed with his knowledge of the scriptures.
Yes, yes, yes. He's a teacher, so he's teaching us this evening.
I knew he was a teacher, but I didn't know he was a biblical scholar also.
He is. He is.
I'm very impressed, really, that most people don't know about the two houses of Israel and the split of the kingdom and the priesthood and that kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, how are you doing, Mr. Hunter?
Beg pardon?
Yeah, I was greeting. I was saying hi.
Oh, how are you doing? I'm
fine.
Noanda, he knows that I'm a Sabbath keeper. I go to church on the Sabbath and
yes.
Have rejected Sunday, as many Christian people do. But I just want to call in and say that it's a very interesting program, and I'm really impressed with your knowledge of the scriptures.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank in America, right on. And have a good evening. I continue to listen.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you very, very much. That was pretty awesome. Acknowledging the very wonderful teaching you're giving us today. I have learned so much since I came here yesterday. Your knowledge of the scriptures and how you relate it to our day-to-day experience is astonishing. And that is why a lot of people are quiet. The lines have gone quiet because a lot of you are listening. And we promise you that Radio Biafra is not like any other radio station here. You learn something. When you're listening to Radio Biafra, bring your dictionary, bring your calculator, bring your Bible. Also, bring an exact book. bring a pen with you, because you are going to learn so much. This is the only medium on this planet where you get so much information for nothing. Sometimes I wonder if you have any need to go to school to study history or to study politics or to study any discipline within social sciences, because here at Radio Biafra, we give you everything you need to be able to make informed life choices. I'm Nnamdi Kanu. I'm hosting this program today from Los Angeles, courtesy of our dear brother Odi Moralo, who is here with me in the studios of Radio Biafra, hosting this program this wonderful evening. If you're joining us for the very first time, we welcome you. The number to call is on the top right-hand side of your screen. Should you wish to participate in this conversation, we are looking at the scriptures. We are looking at how Omenala Igbo came, how corrupt interpretation of spiritual edicts led us to the worshipping of idols. We are not idol worshippers. Onye ọwụla sị gị na omenala amụ ugbu a ọkọnkọ na ụmụ ihe ndị ọzọ omenala Igbo, tell the person they are lying, they don't know what I'm talking about. These are corrupt versions, and that was why God has delivered us into the hands of our enemies, the Yoruba people, the Hausa Fulani people, to all the heathens of the world that fought us between 67 and 70 and destroyed us as a people, carted us into slavery. That is why in every country of the world you have Igbo people there. The same thing that happened to the Jewish race. There is no difference. In fact, we are spread even in more places than the Jews ever attempted in their 2,000 years of sojourning all over the world. We want to recreate the kingdom of heaven on this earth. That country is Biafra. We are going to build it, God willing, and by His special grace. We are not retreating in our endeavor. We are not afraid of any human being. It is either we get Biafra or we die trying to get Biafra. There are a lot of cowards in the United States, we know that. People that answer to Igbo names, people who are heading organizations, who are chairman, secretary, and all the rest of it in organizations, we know that they are cowardly. Some of them do not understand what it means to be an Igbo person. They answer Igbo without knowing what it means. Believe you me, if you know what it means to be an Igbo person, you know you are not only special, but you are princely. Why you are in another person's country as a slave is beyond me. Please go ahead.
Yes, so like I was saying, God's punishment on Aaron's house and lineage came, and He said that also He would cut off from the altar, that those whom He didn't cut off from the altar will be spared only to blind their eyes with tears and grief in their hearts, and that all Eli's descendants died in their prime of life, and all would die in the prime of life. So all of them died in their prime of life. That is a curse. And when God curses you, man will not save you. And you know, we can see that in Aaron's, in, if you read the scriptures, the Old Testament, you see here, which is the Torah, that's what the Jews call the Torah, you see that God was always kindled with anger when people worshipped idols. And the first thing in the Ten Commandments was, do have no other God beside me. And so the practices, and why do people go and seek other gods? Because they want security, they want progress, they want, but you're wanting those progress and security from a God that didn't create you. You're wanting it from a different God. There's only one true God, the God Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is God of Israel Himself. And sometimes I tell people who get angry when Israel is mentioned, I said, you know, you have to find out why you are angry when Israel is mentioned. You know, there is nothing, God is not into making anybody more special than the other. But God has chosen Israel to manifest His power, and He had a covenant with them. That covenant Israel broke. If you go to the book of Kings, you see the problems of worshipping idols and how it brought Israel down. So why I'm saying this, and Israel returned, they are returning gradually. They are coming to the knowledge of the Most High again. And this is God's desire for everybody in the world, everybody at all. But you must love the truth. You must love God first before you can come to Him. If you don't love Him, you will move away from Him. So you see, here also, I want to mention another example, on 1 Kings 18, about Elijah and the prophets of Baal, where Elijah gathered 450 prophets of Baal, and 400 prophets of the Asherah. Asherah was a pagan goddess of the Canaanites and Assyrians and Babylonians. You know, the common symbol of this cult was a tree trunk. There was a, they have a market you know, they first of all make sure that the tree trunk doesn't have branches, and they remove that the branches are removed, sorry, and that images are carved into them, you know. And God sent Elijah to Ahab because there was a 3-year drought. A drought in Israel for 3 years. And why was this drought? This drought was a punishment for what they were doing. And so he sent Elijah to Ahab. And in those days, they say that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. So they wait for the word of the Lord to come. You know? Yes. And when it comes, then things begin to happen.
And it came eventually.
It came after 3 years. Mm-hmm. And he was sent to Obadiah, who was in charge of King Ahab's palace. You know, but Obadiah, even though he was charge of a king of Ahab's palace, hid over 100 prophets of prophets of God Almighty in caves, in 2 caves, and fed them with food and water. You know, he hid them because Ahab was killing them, killing those who are prophets of God. So Obadiah was risking his life doing that. So when he met Elijah, Elijah asked him to send the message through him to Ahab. First of all, he was scared because he said he was going to die if he goes to tell Ahab to come see Elijah. He told Elijah, if he comes here and didn't see you, what is going to happen? And he met Obadiah because Ahab told him to go and search for fields where their horses can feed. You know, because there was drought, there's a lot of grasses that already died, you know. You know, when there is drought, there is scarcity of lively plants, verdant plants around. So he went one direction, Ahab went the other. And they went to, then Obadiah was able to meet Elijah. So eventually he sent for this Ahab. Ahab came and met him. And that was when Elijah confronted Ahab and told him to get the prophets of Baal to meet at Mount Carmel, where there will be a show of power, because yes. He accused Ahab of leading the people of Israel astray.
Yes.
You know? And when they met there, while I go on, Baal was also a Canaanite god.
Baal is a
Canaanite small god. It was made from the shape of a bull, and it represented strength, fertility, lust for power, mm-hmm. and sexual pleasure.
Yes.
You know, and so Elijah said, okay, all of you come. Let's see who is God. And there's something that's very important. He said that these prophets of Asherah and Baal, that they ate at the table with Jezebel. 850 wicked prophets ate at the table with Jezebel, who was the queen then. And eating signifies something in Jewish culture, and in Igbo culture the same thing it signifies. Eating to somebody's with somebody is having fellowship with him, having fellowship. So when you have that fellowship, is also a kind of covenant that you're having with the person. So when they came, eventually Elijah invited them, and they came. And after that, you all know the story of how they called on Baal and cut themselves up so that fire will consume the bull that was set on the altar if he was God. You know, and remember, those people who were Baal prophets and Asherah prophets, they were Israelites.
Yes.
They were Israelites. And the ones that are hidden in caves were also Israelites. So Israel was divided. They were fighting between themselves. There was, based on what their beliefs were on. So it's very, there are serious consequences to allowing the people to veer off their belief when you believe in the one and true God, Almighty. You know, and eventually when they couldn't, fire couldn't come down there in Mount Carmel to burn, when the Baal and the Asherah prophets called on their own God, it was not possible. You know, Elijah mocked them and then told them to wait. He called, asked them to bring water and pour on the altar, and pour on the bull. After just soaking it with water, he now called on God Almighty, and fire came down and consumed everything, including the water. And after that, he said he dragged them to the river Kishon, to the valley of Kishon, and slaughtered all of them. He killed all of them.
Yes.
Those people who support evil, a time will come when the consequences of what they're doing will come to an end. God will bring their wickedness to an end if they do not change, if they do not repent. There are also what is called detestable practices. If you go to Deuteronomy 18, 10, 13, the warning from God Almighty of Israel is this: let no one be found amongst you who sacrifices his son or daughter in fire, who practice divination.
Of course, divination.
Yes,
of course.
Yeah. Or sorcery.
Sorcery, fortune telling.
Yes, sorcery.
Which is what Yoruba pastors are doing.
Yeah. Interprets omens and engages in witchcraft of and cast spells.
That when you go and say, I predict this is going to come to you, I predict that is going to come to you in Yoruba, you are bringing curse upon Igbo people. You are bringing curse upon yourself and your family. God is not happy with it. Sometimes people wonder and say, oh, where is Radio Biafra coming from? We say, here you learn everything, including religion, including God himself. You will get to know God himself, the true God that all true people serve, not the type of God that come via the shape of Pentecostal churches. This is the true God, preaching what is biblical, what is there in the Bible as we speak. We reference the Bible, tell you where it is, to tell you that what is happening to our people today was because we have sinned against God. We sinned against God, and God have asked our enemies to come and take possession, to come and inherit our possessions in our land. That is why oil is flowing, and you are in America working for 25 hours in a 24-hour day, when the wealth and the riches that is growing this country is coming from your village. If you don't look around and ask yourself what is wrong with you, then you know you are not fit to be a human being. Please go ahead. We are about to bring the program to an end anyway. If you may conclude for us, we are going to conclude the lectures tomorrow. It's not finished. This is Radio Biafra. In each city we go to, we bring you a dimension of our broadcast. We let you know what you have never heard before.
Yes. So some of these terrible processes were also having medium spirits and consulting the dead. And this is very important.
It's
to me.
It's not good. Not good at all. Let's take it from. Yes, your name, please, and where you're calling from. This is Radio Biafra.
Hello, my name is Abara Charles Jr. I'm calling from Ukraine.
From Ukraine, please go ahead.
Yeah, actually, I just have a few contributions to make.
Go ahead.
Concerning the transmitter.
Yes.
Actually, since last year, I've been following up with Radio Biafra, and I'm love you call at all, so I'm very glad to, you know, to call tonight, and I'm just want to say thank you for everything. I really appreciate your good work and everything. But right now, what I'm more concerned about is this is the transmitter. We need to get this transmitter as soon as possible. I think if it's something like making maybe dedicating next tomorrow for this thing for a life contribution or something, anything that can bring out this transmitter as far as possible, then it will do a lot of good. Because we really need this transmitter. We can't be waiting till when. I'm a student here. I wish I could do something. I wish I could just give the whole money for the whole stuff. But right now my hands are tied.
Yes, I understand.
I'm begging all of your friends that are listening to me, please get this meter as soon as possible. I know one or two people can just bring out the money and get the transmitter on air.
Yes, we are mentioning God here as we preach the gospel according to Radio Biafra, as we interpret the scriptures the way it was intended to be interpreted. We hope that God will be able to touch the hearts and minds of Biafrans, not necessarily Igbo people. What we are asking for are Biafrans, those who can bring the glory of God to bear on what we are doing, to ask them to please go to radio. Because of what you have said, I'll make an exception and direct people to Radio Biafra website. You will see a button there that says donate. Please donate. If they ask you for a reference number, put down transmitter. We are going to buy our transmitter. We need to buy this transmitter to transmit our messages to our people. Once there is light in the shape of Radio Biafra, darkness will run away. The darkness in the shape of the evil people will run away. And as our brother Odi Moralu said here a while ago, every worker of iniquity according to the Bible should die. That's what the Bible said, not me.
because they cannot inherit the land of the living because they have sold their souls to the devil. We need our transmitter to make our revolution possible. We are gunning for a revolution that the kind that the world has never seen before. We need to wake up the subconsciousness of our people. We need to wake up those in deep sleep, those in coma. We need to get them to rise up again to face the challenge before them. And that challenge is apathy. That challenge is slavery. That challenge is subjugation. That challenge is timidity in front of the Nigerian well-oiled killing machinery. But we are going to confront them the same way that David confronted Goliath with nothing but a catapult. We are going to confront them because 1967 to 1970 is not 2013 to 2015. Everybody who has gone against our people, we will bring that person down. That person will come down with us. All of them, bar none. They should go and mark it somewhere that this is Radio Biafra. Our people have suffered enough. Millions of us were taken into slavery, brought to this country. Millions of us have died all over the world due to hardship. We are dying when we try to escape from Nigeria. We are dying when we try to cross into Europe. We are dying when we come to other countries to work. And look at what is happening in Malaysia, in India, in Thailand, all those places. Our people are dying every blessed day. That is why Radio Biafra is on the air, is to correct all these anomalies. We will not corrupt our people. We will save their lives. We will make their life better in the land of the living, and that place is called Biafra. Thank you very much for calling. I have announced it to the world that you can support Radio Biafra the way we should do that. Yes, go ahead.
I also love to use this opportunity to talk to my fellow Biafrans. Since last year, I've been listening to this Radio Biafra, and I know the kind of impact and everything, the kind of passion I have for this Biafra, and even the way it has gone viral now, that is still on the internet, we still have not started broadcasting on with our transmitter. Imagine when we start broadcasting with our transmitter. Since we don't have much time. We don't have time. I know we have, but we don't have time. Hello, Biafra, please. I know one or two people can just do this.
Yes, we are going to do that. We'll announce them. Yes, I hope that your appeal. We hope that your appeal has gotten to them, and we hope that they do something about it. Dr. Moses Wigwe spoke very eloquently and very movingly about this a while ago, during our first broadcast, and you are doing the same thing now. Our transmitter is important. Those who don't understand what a transmitter is that it enables us to make sure that the people at home receive Radio Biafra the same way you're receiving it on your mobile phone, the same way you receive it on your computer, on your laptop. We want people in the remote villages with access to a transistor radio to be able to tune into Radio Biafra every blessed day. That will stop Yoruba people from bending their minds. That will stop the Nigerian well-oiled media from telling them that they are Nigerians. This is the first time we are going head-to-head and competing with these people. We are all over the world. That is true. Millions of people are listening to Radio Biafra. That is true. But we also want to make it possible for our people in the villages to receive our news, because that is the theater of battle. That is where darkness is fighting with light. That is where good is fighting evil. That is where the sponsors of iniquities in our land, the governors that we have, the senators, the House of Reps, that is where they are. And we are going to confront them. And for us to sweep them away from power, we need only a trusted transmitter. Thank you very much for calling, and God bless you. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah,
my dear brother, we are bringing the program to a close anyway, because it's past, it's gone, it's almost 6 p.m. now. We started at 4, it's only for 2 hours, but please round off for us so that we can bring it to an end.
Okay,
we try and rest and then we reconvene tomorrow. Go ahead.
Okay, as I was saying, God. In Deuteronomy 18:10-13, it says the sensible consult the dead. That's ancestral worship. And you know that in most African traditions, the ancestral worship is part of their destiny. And you can look it up in Deuteronomy 18:10-13. It's
corrupt priesthood.
So ancestral worship, and this is what, like you said, Nnamdi, corrupt priesthood led our people to begin to do. You know, ndị be anyị na agba ọgwụ
yes
na akpansi
corruption,
you know, those type of things are what is defiling the land. When that land becomes free of any idol, then you and God is invited in, as many of us are doing now. You know, a time will come we will see the deliverance of the Most High, and it was Him that will deliver, not man, because the hands of man are too short. And the Bible talks about delivering us with the power of His right hand.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean doing and not buying transmitter. Delivery means buying transmitter.
Yeah, of course, of course.
You know what people when they say. when you say, "Oh, only God can deliver, not man," they go sit down and wait for God to come and do it.
Yeah, faith without works is dead.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank you.
Faith is what works is dead.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And tomorrow, like you said,
tomorrow we are reconvening here. We are here in Los Angeles, courtesy of our dear brother, whom you've heard his voice. We are doing the best we can. We are not, I think I must have made a mistake earlier to say we will corrupt them. We will not corrupt them. We will kill them. That's what we're going to do. Everybody, every worker of iniquity in our midst will die. Because they cannot, that is what the Bible says, not me. That is what the Bible says. If you go and read it properly, the type of Bible we read is the original Bible, not the fake one, being bandied about by Yoruba pastors. Here on Radio Biafra, we speak the truth and nothing but the truth. If you don't like it, you go somewhere else. We are here to bring about Biafra. We are not going to surrender. We are not going to abandon this very struggle. We are asking you to, every evening when you come, every morning when you listen to Radio Biafra, please take a pen and a piece of paper and recall everything we tell you. Radio Biafra is not slackening. We are not going back. We are not going to build hotels. We are not going to buy cars. We are not going to build mansions. We are not going to lead a life of ostentation. We are not going to be frivolous. We are going to be disciplined. We are going to be focused. We are going to be God-fearing, both secretly and outwardly. We are going to be very transparent, and we are going to succeed. These are the hallmarks upon which the new Biafra is going to be founded. The new Biafra will be a place of transparency, of truth, and of honesty. All the nonsense, fetishness, and idolatry will become a thing of the past. Biafra will come here to stay, not just now, but for eternity. If you have joined us today, we thank you very much. But we are asking you please to go and tell your friends, go and tell your family members, tell everybody around you that the path to redemption is a very simple one. It is simply www.radiobiafra.co, not .com, .co. If you go through that website, you are halfway into heaven. That heaven is called Biafra. Thank you very much, wherever you are on this planet. It is goodbye from me from here in Los Angeles. We are saying thank you very much and God bless all of you. Same time, 7 p.m. Biafran time tomorrow, 7 p.m. You join us or later today for yourself, please. For us here, it is still evening. It's just gone past 6 p.m. in the evening here in Los Angeles. Thank you very much and God bless all of you.
Le 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 La 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 la